Welcome, Discovery Rangers. Today we will be exploring beavers, wetland builders or flood nuisance.
Remember the massive rainstorms we had back in the spring of 2026?
Oh, yeah.
Like the ones where the rain just wouldn't stop and rivers were rising so incredibly fast it felt like the water was going to swallow up whole towns?
It was intense.
Put yourself back in that scenario for a second. Imagine you're standing on a riverbank just watching that muddy, angry water rushing by.
Right, just carrying huge branches and debris.
Exactly. So if you were in charge of protecting the town downstream, what would you do? Like, your first instinct might be to build a giant concrete wall.
Sure, something heavily engineered by human machines to hold the water back.
But what if I told you that the very best defense against all that dangerous, destructive flooding wasn't a concrete wall at all?
Okay, color me intrigued.
What if the absolute best defense was actually, well, a big pile of sticks, rocks, and mud built by a giant furry creature with orange teeth?
I mean, it sounds like the plot of a cartoon, honestly.
Ow.
But it is entirely real. That pile of sticks and mud is a beaver dam. And it happens to be at the center of this massive, fascinating debate right now among scientists, farmers, and city planners.
And that debate is exactly what we are diving into today. We've got this fantastic stack of research reports and studies from 2026, and our mission is to answer a really important question.
Which is, are beavers just a flooding nuisance that, you know, chew up our trees and ruin our roads?
Or are they actually nature's greatest wetland builders? We're going to figure out exactly how they do what they do.
It's a perfect question to explore, especially because the beaver is just such a uniquely misunderstood animal.
Yeah.
Like, to really grasp the debate, we need to understand the animal itself first.
Okay, so lay it on us.
Well, the beaver holds the title of North America's largest rodent. And when we use the word rodent, we're simply talking about a specific group of mammals that gnaw on things with their front teeth.
Right.
Animals like mice, hamsters, or squirrels.
But see, when you say rodent, people immediately picture something tiny scurrying under a refrigerator.
Yeah, that's true.
But beavers are definitely not mouse-sized. I mean, the reports we're looking at say they weigh anywhere from 40 to 70 pounds.
They're substantial animals.
Wait, 40 to 70 pounds, that's not a mouse. That is the size of a fully grown golden retriever.
It really is.
Imagine trying to pick up a golden retriever. Like carrying a really, really heavy backpack. That's a huge animal to be wandering around the woods gnawing on things.
It is a massive physical presence, yeah.
And they can live up to 10 years in the wild, which, you know, gives them a lot of time to totally alter their surroundings.
Wow, a decade.
Yeah. And physically, they're perfectly engineered for the watery environments they live in. They've got that famous flat, scaly tail.
The one that looks like a paddle.
Exactly. Which acts exactly like a boat's rudder to steer them when they swim. Mm. They have big, webbed front paws that they use for digging and grabbing materials. And, of course, they have those incredibly strong, ever-growing front teeth.
Which they use to literally chop down trees.
Yep.
It's like they have chainsaws built into their faces. That's a great way to put it.
So we have this giant golden retriever-sized swimming rodent. And the central question we are unpacking today for you listening is, when these creatures show up in our rivers and streams and start building their dams, slowing down the water, what should we do?
Right.
Should we keep those dams around or should we remove them to protect our roads and our homes?
Well, to get to the bottom of that, we first need to understand the architecture.
Okay.
We need to look at how, and more importantly, why they build these famous dams. Mm. If you look closely at a beaver dam, it is not just a random pile of sticks that happen to wash downstream.
Right. It's not an accident.
Not at all. It is a highly strategic, intentional construction project.
So walk us through the micro. Like, if I'm a beaver, how do I actually build this thing?
Okay, so you start by collecting materials. Using those strong front teeth, you cut down surrounding branches and gather sticks, rocks, mud, and leaves.
Just hauling it all to the water.
Exactly. Then we find a very specific strategic spot across a moving stream, and you start stacking all those materials. But here is the critical part.
Okay.
Just stacking sticks across a stream wouldn't stop the water. The water would just flow right through the gaps.
Oh, right. It would just be a leaky fence.
Exactly. So the crucial third step is the sealing process. The beaver dives down to the bottom of the stream, dredges up heavy mud and plant roots with its front paws, and then swims up and physically packs that mud into the gaps between the sticks.
Wow.
Yeah, sealing the wall. This effectively blocks the stream. And because the water has nowhere to go, a large, deep pond slowly begins to form behind the dam.
Wait, hold on. I need to stop you there because this totally changes how I've always pictured this.
How so?
I have always thought they lived inside the dam itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the dam was the walls of their house and they were inside staying dry. Why go through all the trouble of stopping a whole river just to make a giant puddle?
You know, you are definitely not alone in thinking that. It's a really common misconception. The dam is absolutely not their house.
It isn't.
No, the dam is just a tool. The only reason they build a dam is to create the pond.
Okay.
Once the pond is deep enough, then they build a totally separate structure out in the middle of the water called a lodge.
Ah, the lodge.
Yes, the lodge is where they actually live, sleep, and raise their babies, which, by the way, are called kits.
Kits! That's adorable. Okay, but that still begs the question, why do they need the pond in the first place? Why not just build the lodge on the dry riverbank?
Well, because the pond acts as a protective moat. Think of a medieval castle surrounded by deep water.
To keep the bad guys out.
Exactly. On dry land, beavers are actually quite slow. They kind of waddle.
Because they're the size of a golden retriever.
Right. And because they're big and slow on land, they're very easy targets for predators like wolves, coyotes, or bears.
That makes sense.
But the moment they're in the water, they become incredibly fast and agile.
So they are purposefully flooding the forest to create a deep moat, totally hiding the entrance to their home underwater so the wolves can't get to them.
Yes, exactly.
And the report mentions something amazing about their underwater abilities. If a wolf is chasing them, they just dive in and they can hold their breath for a full 15 minutes.
15 minutes. It's a staggering biological adaptation.
I can barely hold my breath for 30 seconds.
Right. By the time they need to come up for air, they are safely inside their lodge or just far away from whatever was chasing them.
That's so smart.
And the moat also allows them to swim right up to their food sources, like tree bark and aquatic plants, and transport that food back home safely without ever having to waddle around on dry land and risk getting caught.
That is incredible. They are literally terraforming the forest to keep their families safe.
They really are.
And because they completely change the landscape to suit their needs, the research uses a very specific term for them, right? Ecosystem engineers.
Yes. An ecosystem engineer is any animal that doesn't just live in its environment, but actively redesigns it. He
Okay.
changed the physical shape of the land around them by building things.
Now, here is where the story takes a wild turn. The beaver builds this massive moat for a completely selfish reason.
Yeah, entirely selfish.
It just wants to protect its babies and get a midnight snack without getting eaten by a bear. It's not trying to save the world.
Yeah.
But that selfish act accidentally creates these incredible superpowers for the entire planet.
That is the beauty of it. The benefits to the surrounding environment are absolutely staggering. If we look at the first major benefit, we have to talk about water quality.
Okay, but water quality.
Think about a fast-moving stream. When water is rushing quickly downhill, it has a lot of energy.
Like during a storm.
Right. That energy picks up dirt, loose rock, and pollution, carrying it all downstream. But what happens when that fast, muddy water suddenly hits the still, calm water of a beaver pond?
It hits a wall and slows way down.
Exactly.
And I'm guessing because the water loses its energy, gravity takes over,
Yeah.
all that heavy dirt and rock can't be carried anymore, so it just drops to the bottom of the pond.
Precisely. The research points to this really cool 2026 study from the Illinois Beaver Alliance that measured this exact effect.
Oh, what did they find?
They found that beaver dams trap up to 90% of the sediment, meaning all that loose dirt and rock swirling in the water.
90%. So the beaver dam is functioning exactly like a giant coffee filter.
That's a perfect analogy.
All the fast, muddy, dirty water pours in from the stream, the dirt gets trapped and settles at the bottom, and beautifully clean, clear water flows out the other side.
Which is an incredible benefit for the fish, the insects, and eventually the humans living downstream who rely on that clean water.
Wow.
But filtering water is just one superpower. The ponds also provide massive flood and drought resilience.
And this brings us right back to those terrifying spring 2026 storms we talked about at the start.
Yes, it does.
Because there was a 2026 weather.com report showing that beaver wetlands actually capture more storm water than nearby forests.
They do.
But how is a pond stopping a flood? It seems totally counterintuitive. Wouldn't a pond already be full of water?
You'd think so, but it's all about how the dam forces the water to behave across the landscape.
Okay, walk me through it.
During a massive rainstorm, a normal straight river acts like a highway. It takes all that massive rainfall and rushes it straight into Cuban towns all at once, causing massive flood peaks.
Right, which is terrifying.
Very. But a beaver dam acts like a speed bump. It slows the fast-moving water down, and because the dam is blocking the channel, it forces the water to spread out over a much wider, flatter area of land.
Oh, it's turning the surrounding land into a giant, squishy sponge.
Yes.
Instead of a highway rushing the water into a town, the land just soaks up all that dangerous, fast water and holds onto it. And the numbers back this up. The report notes that this spreading effect can lower those terrifying flood peaks by up to 30%. Mm. That is a massive reduction in water rushing into someone's living room.
30% is a huge, critical layer of protection. And the genius of that giant, squishy sponge is what happens months later.
What do you mean?
Picture the hot, dry summer months when it hasn't rained in weeks. We call that a drought.
Right. Everything gets crispy.
Exactly. Right. During a drought, regular streams without beavers will completely dry up. But that beaver sponge we just talked about, it slowly leaks its stored deeply soaked water back into the environment, drop by drop. This slow release keeps the streams flowing all summer long, ensuring the plants and animals have water to survive.
So we have an animal that builds a coffee filter, a speed bump, and a water tower all rolled into one.
Yes.
And we haven't even touched on the climate benefits yet.
Oh, the climate data is fascinating.
The researchers highlight this groundbreaking 2026 USA Today study that looked closely at carbon storage. For our younger listeners trying to picture this carbon as a naturally occurring gas, but when there is too much of it trapped in the air, it acts like a thick, invisible blanket wrapping around the Earth, warming the planet up too much.
That's a great way to explain it.
So carbon storage is simply the Earth's way of taking that blanket off, right?
Yeah.
Trapping that gas in the soil and in dead wood so it can't heat up the air.
And what the scientists in that 2026 study found inside beaver ponds was remarkable. They discovered that beaver wetlands store significantly more carbon than they release.
Really?
Yeah. They're essentially locking away the gases that contribute to climate change.
But how does a pond do that better than a regular forest? Like if a tree falls in a forest, doesn't it just store the carbon there?
Well, the secret is actually in the mud.
The mud?
Yeah. In a dry forest, when a tree falls and dies, it eventually rots. The bacteria that cause it to rot need oxygen from the air. As the wood rots, it releases its stored carbon back into the atmosphere. But in a beaver pond, all that dead wood and plant material gets buried deep in the wet, heavy mud at the bottom.
Where there's no air.
Exactly. That mud lacks oxygen. Because there is no oxygen, the wood decomposes incredibly slowly, meaning the carbon stays securely locked away in a muddy vault for decades or even centuries.
Wow, that is brilliant. The mud acts like a vault.
It does.
Plus, with all this clean, slow-moving water around, the habitat completely transforms. Scientists call this biodiversity.
Yes, biodiversity just booms.
Basically, when the beaver builds a pond, it's like putting up a giant vacancy sign for the rest of the forest. The neighborhood becomes incredibly desirable.
Totally.
The frogs move in to lay their eggs in the calm water. Specialized fish find safe places to hide. Herons and ducks arrive, and millions of insects flourish. The whole ecosystem becomes bustling, healthy, and alive.
So if you tally it up, we have an animal that filters drinking water, lowers flood risk by 30%, keeps streams flowing during severe summer droughts, locks away climate-warming carbon gases in a mud vault, and builds thriving habitats for dozens of other species.
Which naturally leads to a huge question.
I can guess what it is.
I mean, I'm putting myself in the shoes of a city planner. If these animals are doing all this free eco-engineering for us, I don't understand why a town would ever want to get rid of them.
Right.
If they're magical sponges of life, what's the catch? Why do people get so frustrated with them?
Well, the catch is that beavers don't understand property lines.
Good point.
This is where we get into the human-beaver conflicts. Mm. When nature meets human neighborhoods, things get complicated quickly. The reality is water doesn't always stay exactly where humans want it to.
Because when the beaver builds that dam to create a moat, the water level has to rise.
Yep.
And if the beaver decides to build its dam right next to a low-lying road, that rising water is going to spill right over the asphalt.
Exactly. And a flooded road isn't just a minor inconvenience where you get your tires wet.
No, it's a big deal.
If a road is deeply flooded, school buses are delayed or canceled, people can't get to work, and most importantly, emergency vehicles like ambulances or fire trucks might not be able to get through to a neighborhood that needs help.
Oh, wow. It becomes a genuine safety hazard.
It really does.
That makes total sense. The reports also mention that because they cut down trees, they can severely damage farmers' property.
Yes, that's another big issue.
Like if a farmer has an apple orchard near a stream, a beaver might come along and chew down their valuable food-producing trees overnight.
Which is devastating for the farmer.
And then there is the whole issue with culverts.
Yes, culverts. They are perhaps the biggest battleground.
Can you explain what a culvert is for anyone who doesn't know?
Sure. A culvert is simply a metal or concrete pipe that humans bury under a road to let a stream flow from one side to the other. It keeps the road dry while letting the water pass underneath.
But I'm guessing, too, a beaver, a giant pipe letting water flow freely, looks exactly like a terrible leaky hole in a perfectly good dam.
That is precisely how they view it.
Oh, boy.
Their instinct is triggered by the sound of rushing water. They hear the water echoing through that metal pipe, and they immediately go to work.
Just stuffing it full of sticks.
Yep, sticks, rocks, mud deep inside the culvert until it is completely plugged. Once the pipe is plugged, the water backs up, the pond rises rapidly, and the road washes out entirely.
Okay, so let's walk through a scenario.
Right.
If I live on a road and a beaver plugs the culvert, flooding my driveway so I can't get out.
Yeah.
My first immediate instinct is going to be to grab a shovel, march down there, and just break the dam apart.
Sure.
I tear it down, the water drains away, and the road is safe. Why wouldn't that work? It seems like the obvious solution.
Well, it seems logical in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But a 2026 guide from the North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority highlights the massive flaws in the tear it down approach.
What's the flaw?
First of all, breaking the dam is only a temporary fix. Beavers are relentlessly stubborn.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you spend your whole Tuesday afternoon tearing their dam down with a shovel, they will simply work through the night and have it completely rebuilt by Wednesday morning.
You're kidding.
Nope. Or they'll just move 50 feet down the road and build a new one.
So you just end up fighting a never-ending war with a giant rodent who doesn't have a day job.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the second flaw is even more serious.
Okay.
If you successfully remove the dam permanently, you immediately lose all of those superpowers we just talked about.
Oh, wow.
You lose the water filtration, the carbon storage, and the dry protection. And perhaps most dangerously, removing a dam with a shovel suddenly releases a huge uncontrolled wall of water all at once.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that sudden release can actually cause a flash flood that is far worse for the human towns further downstream than the original pond was.
So tearing the dam out is exhausting, it's only temporary, it destroys the environmental benefits, and it might accidentally flood your neighbors.
Pretty much.
That is a terrible plan.
Yeah.
So what do we do? How do wildlife scientists solve the problem of a flooded road without hurting the beavers and without losing all the benefits they bring?
Well, this is the most exciting part of the research.
Right.
Outsmarting the engineer.
I love it.
Conservationists have developed incredibly clever non-lethal solutions. Non-lethal simply means we are using tools and clever designs that solve the human problem without killing or harming the animal.
And the most fascinating one highlighted in the Beaver Institute's 2026 data is something called the pond leveler pipe.
Yes.
I was reading how this works, and it feels like an ecological magic trick. Explain the setup here.
The pond leveler is an elegant compromise. Humans take a long, flexible plastic pipe. They sink one end of the pipe deep underwater, far out in the middle of the beaver pond, away from the dam.
Okay.
Then they run the rest of the pipe right through the middle of the beaver's dam so the water from the pond can safely leak out to the other side of the dam.
But wait, we just established that beavers are obsessed with stopping leaks.
They are.
Like, if they hear a leak in a culvert, they plug it. So if we put a pipe right through their dam, why don't they just pack it full of mud immediately? Are they just not noticing it?
It all comes down to understanding the beaver's biological triggers.
Which are what?
Beavers are triggered to build by the sound and the feel of rushing water. By placing the intake end of the flexible pipe deep underwater in the middle of the pond and surrounding it with a protective wire cage to slow the suction, the water flows into the pipe silently.
Oh, because the intake is deep underwater, there is no splashing sound.
Exactly.
The beaver can't hear the water flowing into the pipe and they can't feel any fast current. We are essentially using their own biology against them. Because they can't hear the leak, their brain doesn't tell them to fix it.
That's exactly it. It's a complete workaround of their instincts. The pipe quietly and continuously drains the pond just enough to keep the water level safely below the human road.
That is brilliant.
The beavers get to keep their home, their moat stays deep enough to protect them from wolves, and the humans get to drive on a dry, safe road. Everyone wins.
I think that is so clever. And the report outlines a couple of other gentle engineering tricks for different problems.
Like baffles.
Yes, baffles, which scientists sometimes call deceivers. These are essentially protective wire screens or fences built out in front of those metal culvert pipes under the roads.
Right.
The screen physically blocks the beaver from shoving sticks into the pipe, but the holes in the screen let the water flow through harmlessly.
And if the conflict involves a farmer losing valuable apple trees, the solution is equally simple. We use trapezoidal fences.
Trapezoidal fences?
Yeah, it's a specific type of woven wire mesh that is either wrapped securely around the base of the individual tree or used to block off a specific orchard area.
Makes sense.
The beaver's teeth are strong, but they can't chew through metal wire. Realizing they can't get to the wood, they simply move on to other, less valuable, naturally growing trees in the forest.
What about simply trapping the beaver and moving it to a completely different forest far away from humans? Does the research recommend that?
Relocation is discussed, but it is strictly considered an absolute last resort.
Why is that?
Because moving a wild animal is highly stressful for the creature. When you drop a beaver into a new, unfamiliar territory, it doesn't know where the food is, doesn't have a protective moat, and it might run into territorial conflicts with other beavers already living there.
Oh, that sounds rough.
It is. Many relocated beavers struggle to survive. The 2026 consensus, particularly emphasized by groups like the Lewis and Clark Conservation District, is very clear on prioritizing the non-lethal engineering tools first.
They say that keeping the dam right where it is and using these clever tools like the silent pond leveler pipe gives us the absolute best of both worlds.
Exactly.
We protect our human roads, we protect our farms, and we keep nature's amazing filtration and flood control benefits completely intact.
Precisely. The research proved that we don't have to make a hard choice between human safety and environmental health. With a little bit of creativity and an understanding of the animal's behavior, we can successfully coexist.
We have covered so much ground today. Let's recap this journey. We started by asking if beavers were just a nuisance causing floods.
Right.
And what the science from 2026 clearly shows is that they are so much more than just giant tree-chewing rodents. They are master builders.
Really?
They are ecosystem engineers who create vital wetlands. They clean our drinking water by acting like giant coffee filters. They store harmful climate warming carbon gases in muddy vaults, and they actually help protect our towns from massive spring floods by turning the landscape into giant squishy sponges. And the craziest part of all of this is that they do all of this incredible life-saving work for the planet just by trying to make a safe, deep puddle to hide their babies from wolves.
It perfectly illustrates how deeply interconnected everything in an ecosystem truly is. One animal's basic instinct to survive ends up supporting and protecting hundreds of other species, including humans.
Now, for the young listeners out there, yes, you, I have some fun action steps for you based on everything we learned in today's deep dive.
Ooh, homework. The fun kind.
The very best kind. First, ask an adult to help you go online and watch a video of a beaver building a dam. Watching them carry those heavy, muddy piles in their little webbed front paws is amazing.
That's so cool to watch.
Second, the next time you visit a local pond or stream, play detective. Look closely for beaver signs. See if you can find any trees that look like they've been chewed down into the shape of a pointy pencil, or look for fresh mud packed tightly onto a pile of sticks.
A great idea.
And finally, share a wild fact with a friend or a teacher today. Tell them you learned that a beaver is a 50-pound rodent that can hold its breath underwater for a full 15 minutes while escaping predators.
That is a fantastic fact to share. And, you know, as we wrap up our analysis of these reports, there is one final broader concept I'd like you to ponder.
Lay it on us.
Beavers change their environment to survive, just like humans do. We build houses, pave roads, and construct entire cities to keep ourselves safe, dry, and comfortable.
That's true.
The beaver builds its dams and lodges to do the exact same thing for its family.
They really are just like us in that fundamental way. We are both builders.
We are. So here is the thought to leave you with today. If an animal the size of a golden retriever can engineer a totally natural, incredibly effective solution to massive floods, severe droughts, and climate challenges using absolutely nothing but sticks and mud, well, what incredible things could we humans accomplish if we learn to work with nature's engineers instead of always trying to control them?
Thanks for listening, Discovery Rangers. If you enjoyed this, please ask Mum or Dad to play another episode for you.